Blog Talk Radio.
Use all of your courage in Jesus to overcome. Believe there is no circumstance that can defeat you in your purpose to accomplish anything in your life. You got to believe it though, brother.
Yeah.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You got to believe. Come on.
the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
Hallelujah. Thanks. Can you all hear me? Please give me a sound check. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like to bless you all for tuning in tonight. Those of you that are in the chat, those of you that are calling in. All righty. Bless you, Brother Josh, my faithful co-host. Give me a 10, Sister Ziona, Sister Green. Hallelujah. And the Walsh family in the land down under. Greetings and blessings to you all. Welcome to this brother segment tonight. I'm your host, Deacon Bell. Glad to have you all with me tonight. Hallelujah. Pray everyone had a blessed Shabbat and enjoyed the word and received the word from the man of Yah. And still chewing on that word. Pastor's been preaching giving us some good preaching, you know, teaching us, informing us of this, you know, in a greater depth in areas that we hadn't been into, really, in the spiritual warfare that we're in, hitting the marine kingdom. Hallelujah. And we're very grateful to have the man of Yah minister to us, to be there, to be an example to the flock, and being faithful in feeding it. Feeding all of us. Hallelujah. You know, Pastor said something yesterday about the warfare. You know, he's been under attack. His family's been under attack. And others have been fighting, you know, those who've been engaged in the spiritual warfare. You know, some of us are engaged and some of us aren't. And like, you know, some people are on the front line being in the war. And others want to love sitting back in garrison sipping coffee. You know, well, hey, you guys, the rest of you go out there and fight the enemy. I'm going to sit back here and guard the coop, guard the beer coop, guard the wine, guard all the food while you out there fighting. You know, I don't want to have to engage the enemy because I'm scared of them, or whatever excuse, you know, people may want to have, you know, because they're passive, lazy. No, and don't mind laying down, let the enemy run roughshod over. But hallelujah. But we do need to engage our adversary, you know, because the word says our adversary, the devil, goeth about as a lion, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And many people are getting devoured. Many, many, many. You know, those who won't fight, who won't engage the adversary, getting taken advantage of. And they don't mind being vessels for him either to engage the righteous, if I can say it like that. You know, the people who yield themselves to Satan, they don't mind being the ones that being willing vessels for him to attack those who oppose Satan as well. But, you know, like Pastor said, you know, there's a lot of, you know, the warfare, you know, warfare is real. And I can tell you, even in my house, we've been fighting. You know, my children have been seeing things, like especially, you know, in their, you know, sleeping. I think one night, both my two older sons both had a bad dreams. You know, of course, they always ask me to pray about, you know, not having bad dreams, and you know, when I pray for them at night. But I tell them, I said, boys, there's one thing for me to pray for you, pray over you, pray with you, and teach you how to fight your adversary, these demons. That come against you too, but you know, you have to use what we teach you. Like I tell my boys, when you're in a dream and something's making you scared, you get afraid, you know, you're afraid or whatever in your dream, you have to start combating that. Don't just lay there and take it, you know, then wake up disturbed and then be in trouble when it's time to go to sleep. I said, no, you oppose the enemy. You fight back. The devil won't be so quick to want to come jump on. You know, cause I've had some instances when I've gotten attacked. You know, just, you know, first time it ever happened to me, it caught me by surprise. I didn't get a chance to really go after the devil like I wanted to. You know, like I was like, man, the second time I got a good piece of the devil, and then other times too. But still, like, still never enough. You know, the devil, at least the devil knows when he comes to jump over here, he gonna get a fight. I'm not gonna sit there and let him just do what he want to do to him. I'm not gonna be scared of any spirit, any kind of way. You know, not cower in the corner. Oh, the devil's here, Pastor Dow, Elder Becker, Brother Scott, anybody, come to my house and get this devil for me. You know, call my wife. You know, anybody. I mean, you know, you have to engage the enemy for yourself. It's like dealing with a bully. You know, most bullies are really cowards. You know, they don't like anyone that'll stand up to them. And the devil, they blow a lot of hot air. I mean, they're ready to fight too now, but Satan really gets most of his strength than people being afraid of. A lot of these demons, they get a lot of strength when people just won't, you know, faints are afraid. They won't engage the adversary. You know, you don't get in the battle, they can stand there tall, you know, like how Goliath was out there. You Israelites, send me a man. You know, and our people, the army, the warriors were shaking in their boots. We can't do that. I ain't going out there. And Paul and Saul had to, hey, find me somebody to go out there. Find the champion. And finally, the Most High had to raise up David. Gave David the courage, the heart, the strength to go out there and face that giant and take his head off. You know, David didn't have any fear. We went out there, hey, who is that dog out there talking all that crap? You know, I'll fight him. You know, when David had strength, the strength of the Most High, that faith, that courage. You know, plus he knew the Most High. He didn't do it with the Spirit. When he slayed the lion and the bear, he said, what's this giant? He ain't going to be nothing. Most High will deliver me into my hand. And what the giant said, hey, you come out with your, he said to the giant, you come against me with your sword and your spear. What David had, he had the stones. And he went out there and faced off with Goliath and, you know, through the rock, Most High delivered the giant into his hand. That rock smashed the giant's head, and David went there and cut Goliath's head off. It was victorious. But then he did it in faith. He overcame his enemy by faith through the strength of the Most High, because he also, you know, trusted the Most High. He had faith. He believed in him. He knew that Most High was his deliverer, his strength. You know, so it's just, you know, we have to be the same way when we're engaging our enemy. You know, don't, can't run back, we can't hide. Let's just, excuse me, we have to fight. Put on our armor and go out and fight. Oppose the enemy. Don't let them stand out there and call us out. We're too chicken to go out there and face. You know, what's the word they put on? You know, put on the whole armor of y'all. But also, I'm thinking of the scripture in James. Hey. Submit yourself to Yah. Resist the devil, he'll flee. And he will. Hallelujah. All right, thanks. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Let me get there. All right, 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 12. Post that in the chat there, Brother Josh, when you get to it. I'm going to go ahead and read. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now, this is Peter telling the saints, hey, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which has happened to you. You know, like, hey, don't think it's strange or something that's a surprise. Don't take this as a surprise. You know, the fiery trial is going to come. You're not going to just get it easy. We're not just going to walk into the kingdom unopposed. You know, there's different levels of trial for everybody. You know, the things that Pastor Dahl has to endure, you know, that lots for him. The things that Elder Becker has to endure, that lots for him. You know, everybody's trial tailor-made for them, is what I'm trying to say. Whether it be pastor, elder, deacon, brother, sister, whoever. Sister Diana, your fight tailor-made for you. Your fight, I probably couldn't handle it. It probably crushed me. Brother Josh, your fight, I couldn't handle it either. It crushed me. It destroyed me, too. Yours, too. But mine would probably do the same thing to you guys. I mean, we all got different measures, different levels of faith and everything, how we're designed and made. And my temptation is not yours. You know, things that would knock me out wouldn't bother you at all. You dance through them like walking on tulips or something. But, you know, so you get what I'm saying. But, you know, there's different measures and different fights that we all have. Excuse me. And so we just have to, we just have to respect. You know, one thing, we need to have respect for one another, even in that. You know, you see a brother or sister struggling. You know, we need to be careful how we look at them, judge them. Because sometimes we're unmerciful in our judgments of brothers and sisters. We're not looking at that, looking at them, considering ourselves as such in the same way if we were in that temptation, in that struggle. So, you know, when you look at your brother and sister, just look at them with some compassion. Don't have that evil eye or hard heart towards your brother or your sister. Hallelujah. But Peter said, make it not strange, beloved, concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. You know, we get tried by fire. And some of these trials you go through, things that you have to endure, it's not easy. Not easy at all. But it does say this, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Hallelujah. Let's see. Of course, he goes on, but let none of us suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a disciple of Christ, not a Christian, like it's written there, let him not be ashamed, but let him give glory, let him glorify Yah on this behalf. Hallelujah. So when we go through trials, let's glorify the Most High. All right, let's go to Jude chapter 1. Oh, well, only one chapter in Jude. Let's go to Jude 1, verses, we'll start from verse 1. 1 through 3, Brother Josh. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are called, to them that are sanctified by Yah the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You know, here he's letting the people know, letting the saints know. And exhorting them, hey, you gotta honestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You know, it's not just gonna be handed over to you, or you're not just gonna have this faith and not have to battle for it. Well, you know, in other words, you get your war clothes on. Hallelujah! You're gonna have to be ready to contend. You're gonna have to deal with the enemy. Stop there, and I want to go over to, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to read verses 4 and 5. We may come back to Jude later and finish off there. Second Corinthians chapter 10. But though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through Yah to the pulling down of strongholds. We're not warring after the flesh. And our weapons aren't carnal. We're not the weapons of our spiritual warfare. We're not using M16s tanks, 9mm, you know, our Glock 17s, 19s, whatever weapon of your weapon of choice, handgun, shotgun, AR-15, crossbow, longbow, spear. But these weapons, but the weapons of our warfare are mighty through Yah, so we're pulling down some strongholds. You know, this is when we get to our spiritual weapons, when we have to, when we're dealing with the Satan's kingdom. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Yah, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. But we're not warring after the flesh. And we got authority. You know, how you can cast down imagination and every high thing if you don't have authority over it? Don't forget, Jesus gave us power. Well, all the power was in the end. So these things that Paul's speaking of there, that's coming from Satan. More things in our own mind. Because you remember when Jesus was in the garden, you know, when he's in the garden, you know, Jesus, you know, he had to wrestle with the thing that was in man. And that was the will. You think about his prayer. Of course, the disciples, he told the disciples, hey, y'all come over here with me in prayer. And he gets there, he's praying. Of course, he's praying, Father, this would be possible. Take this cup from me. That was open. I read that at Luke somewhere. We said, take this cup from me. And goes to the disciples, finds them sleeping. You know? So it's like, hey, you watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Then he goes back and prays again. Goes back and finds him sleeping, and then he comes back and comes to sleep on. But the thing is, when Jesus said, hey, when he's praying, it's not my will, thine be done. He's talking to the Father. And of course, you know, he's sweating, great drops of blood. You know, and many of us have not sweated unto blood. We get sick. But Jesus was wrestling, and with that flesh, you know, going to that tree, like, hey, who wants to go and die? But he did it because he loved. He loved the Father. He would obey. Thank you, Brother Josh. Luke 22:42. Oh, David, I wrote it down. Hallelujah. Thank you, bro. But the Messiah overcame, though. He didn't overcome the will of his flesh to live, the will of man to, you know, and want to exalt itself against the will of the Most High. But he got himself, you know, beat. He made sure he came to do the Father's will. And that was his prayer. He adjusted his prayer, and he got his mind to be where it needs to be to fulfill the Father's will. Hallelujah. But you know, with all the wrestling that we do, well, I tell you what, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 12, Brother Josh. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But how many of us can say that? That we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You know, most of us, come on, let's just be truthful. Most of us, our enemies are brother and sister whom we can't see. That's what we're wrestling against. You know, not against the house of God and his kingdom. You know, that brother that I don't like too well, that sister I can't stand, you know, because they always look at me cross-eyed, or I just can't stand the way they chew their food, drink their coffee, the way they obey their husband, the way that brother submits himself to pastor, the elders, or just way, just anything and everything that our wicked little minds can can conceive of through the demonic impulses and influences that we give place to. So we're not wrestling against, so we are wrestling against flesh and blood. But if you go deeper than what's in your mind, because remember Pastor always says, most of you never had an original thought. And if you take time to analyze and see what's speaking within you, speaking to you, who is that? Is that really you? Come on, Brother Josh, is that really you when you get in the contrary way, when you thinking something bad about your dad when you're at home, you know, thinking evil about Brother Thomas? Or even the heathen out there, somebody just all of a sudden you just got all kinds of evil flowing through your mind, you hating somebody. You wouldn't be guilty of that, would you, Sister Green, hating your husband, hating your sister, hating your daughter, hating your dog or your cat? The animals over the count. But, you know, you get what I'm saying, saints, you know, because we all say we love y'all, right? How can we love y'all who we can't see, but hate our brother or our sister whom we can see? You know, we have all this evil working within us through thoughts. But what did Jesus say? You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. So when people start speaking, they're speaking out of that abundance that's coming from their heart. And especially if you go whisper, spit in somebody's ear, hey, you know, I don't like what Brother so-and-so did. You know, he and I got in a fight or an altercation, and he, you know, or let's say, for instance, a brother rebuked me for breaking the lawnmower, and I didn't like it. You know, we got Teacher Shane here who fixes a lot of our equipment. You know, Teacher Shane got on to me for breaking the lawnmower, and I'm mad at him, man. I don't think he should have talked to me that way. And that brother whining and complaining and all jacked up, spitting in your ear. Next thing you know, guess who's looking at Teacher Shane with the evil eye? You are too. You know, you let him spit his venom in your ear because he's wrestling against flesh and blood. Just ground up because he got righteously got reproved, rebuked for tearing up something because he, you know, wasn't sober, wasn't diligent. And Teacher Shane came to him in love, correcting him. Just like, hey, man, just stop running over all these big old rocks. Can't you see? If you can't see, get some glasses. You know, whatever cause he could have tore up the lawnmower. But, you know, but why be all evil about it? Why be all disgruntled? Why be all mad? I mean, have a little bit of maturity, a little bit of righteousness in you. Just take the correction and go on. Hallelujah. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness is in high places. That is our enemy. Those are the areas you're going to be getting attacked from. Not wrestling with, let's go over to Genesis chapter, let me find that, chapter 30. But you know, we're getting these altercations. How much wrestling are you doing in your mind? You know, because we're the only people who have two natures. We can either walk in the spirit or we can walk in the flesh at any given time. You know, we're the creatures that have dual natures. We can walk in the spirit, walk in the flesh. And, you know, you can go from spirit to flesh in a matter of seconds if you ain't careful. You know, and we have to make sure though that we stay on and keep ourselves on the cutting edge. That we're always discerning ourselves, because one thing you discern in others, but how much are you discerning of yourself? You know, I saw the way you looked at me. I don't like that. But I didn't look at you like nothing. Well, why are you looking at me? Well, sitting in the same room with you, I can't just move my head and look around. If I see you, that doesn't mean I'm looking at you some kind of way. You know how little games we get into sometimes. But let's read over here in Genesis chapter 30. We'll read about Rachel and his wives. Jacob and his wives, Israel. Start at verse 1. Now, these are two sisters now. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I in Yah's stead who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And she said, behold, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went in unto her. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, Yah hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son, therefore shall his name be called, therefore called she his name Dan. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. Now, so we get, she's in the contest with her sister now because of envy. So how much do these spirits whisper in our ears? It's spirits of envy, jealousy, getting us in the flesh. Warring after the flesh, looking at what somebody else got that you don't have. Now, all of a sudden, you're feeling some kind of way. Saying this in your heart, saying that in your heart about them. Feeling, you putting it, and those who are desiring can feel when you're putting off a spirit towards them. But that word wrestling there. But Josh, that would be, let me find my note here. In the Hebrew 53:19. Let me get there again. 53:19, and that word is Natu from 66:17, properly wrestled, but used in the plural sense, plural transitively to struggle, wrestling. Let me click on it. Hold on one second. Where you at? Get this thing to get big here. So she's wrestling against her sister, and of course that's what Dan's name means. You can put that in there, Josh? Hold on. Anyway. But Rachel's wrestling against her sister because she wants to have children for her husband. Hey, how come I'm not having children? What's wrong with me? And finally, she gives her maid to her husband, to Jacob, and he's able to conceive by her. To satisfy her envy, that she can prevail against her sister. Now I have wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. She says, "So I got the victory over now, because I've had Naphtali." And then of course the battle goes on because they keep on having the baby wars. But all these wrestling matches that we get into. It'd be good if we instead of wrestling with our brother or sister, if you see your brother or sister have a baby, you should be happy. By the way, my wife had our fourth son. Hallelujah. His name is Yaor. It was grateful that the Most High brought the baby through to the full term, and my wife's doing great on purification. The baby's doing good. Hallelujah. Keep mom up all night, though. So she's wrestling with him, so to speak. But anyway, so somebody has something, brother, and our brother, precious brother, but Nab had a baby boy too, as well, another son born in this yesterday. I think he's 7 pounds and 21 inches long, if I ain't mistaken. But blessing to the house of brother John McNabb. But yeah, so Rachel, she's upset her sister's having a child and she's not. Of course, she's not thinking, hey, what's making me jealous? What's got me envy of her? And going to her husband, hey, give me children else, I'm going to die. And then Jacob's getting mad. Hey, why don't you put all this pressure on me? I can't just make me have a baby. Like that. But you see that warring after the flesh, though. So instead of warring against the evil spirits or speaking to her mind, because you go back to the garden, devil's whispering, talking in Eve's ear, evil spirits talking in Rachel's here, and Leah too. They get, you know, when the war kicks off with the babies, but you know, you can't, we're not wrestling against each other, saints. We're not wrestling against flesh. But I want to go over to let's go to Genesis chapter 32 here as well. Another account of wrestling. Then this is with Jacob, 32 verse 23, Brother Josh. Of course, thanks. Y'all know the deal. Go back and read everything back in context, please. That way, you know, get the understanding of the whole scripture. Find it. Ah, Brother Josh, we'll start at verse 24. This is 32:24. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh and the hollow of Jacob's thigh without a joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me, except you bless me. And of course, they said, what is your name? My name is Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for thou hast prevailed, for thou as a prince hast power with Yah and with men and hast prevailed. And of course, then Jacob asked him his name. But let's go to that word wrestle here. And in Hebrew is number 79. Abak, the primitive root. Probably to float away as vapor, but used only as a denominative form from the 80, Hebrew word 80, to be dust, that is, grapple, wrestle. The dust, so Jacob get dirty with this guy, with this angel, he's wrestling him, the dust getting thrown up everywhere. You know, they end up wrestling on pavement or concrete. But anyway, that's Jacob wrestling with the angel there to get the blessing. Why? Because, you know, Jacob had a lot going on in his heart. So he's scared he's scared of Esau. You know, don't forget, you know, he took Esau's birthright and his blessing. So his older brother coming, and you don't think he's mad? Or he want to get revenge today? Because, you know, Jacob, come on, my brother coming back, huh? Well, I'm going to give him, I'm going to teach him not to steal my blessing. So he got that war. So Esau got that going on in his heart. So Jacob, you know, he can get his revenge finally. You know, Jacob knows that, so you know he's scared. And so he's wrestling with the angel. And finally, you know, he gets the blessing. And of course, you know, so along with that's, you know, giving him peace with Esau as well too. And, you know, you read the rest of the story. Esau comes and, you know, he cries, they hug and all that, and at least all's okay after that, and then they go their own way. You know, read the rest of the story, saints. I'm going to take a break here. I'm going to use the new mailing address, and I'll be back in about 2 minutes here.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the live stream that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth Ministry. We try to make sure we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Straight Way Truth Ministry, 544 West Main Street, number 241, Gallatin, Tennessee, 37066. Gallatin is spelled G-A-L-L-A-T-I-N. Again, our mailing address is Straight Way Truth Ministry, 544 West Main Street, number 241, Gallatin, Tennessee, 37066. If you would like to send a personal note to Pastor Charles Dowell, just add the letters C/O in front of the word straightway and your letter will go directly to him. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do everything we can to return your message. And if you would like to know more about our healing, deliverance, and truth ministry, keep up to date on events, or find a home fellowship closest to you, please visit our website at straightway.com. That's spelled straightway.com. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. All right, saints, let's go to James chapter 4. Chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. And it reads, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust." Well, see, this is causing some warring in the members, ain't it? Some wrestling in the flesh. And so when your lust ain't satisfied, you know, you got a desire here, and you have not, and you kill, you desire to have, and you cannot obtain, you fight, and you have not, you know, and you war, and you have not because you ask not. Because, some of us, we want to ask the Most High for $1 million, and we'll give it to us. Why not, Father? What, to let you consume upon your own lust so you can waste it, buy you, what, 50 Maseratis, a $10 billion house that you don't need? You give money to your ungodly relatives, smoking crack, doing dope and everything else? You know, you think about, you know, somebody wins a lottery or something, they got every relative that they never knew in their life coming to knocking on their door. You know, all kinds of people that they don't know it, get with their hand out. But, you know, but we were asking the Father for the wrong things, he's not going to fulfill that desire. He's not, you know, he's not praying according to his will. Then why would he give it to you? Feed and satisfy our lust? No, he's not going to do that. You know, so you're asking for, you know, people are asking for, you know, when you're out there in the churches, I remember when I learned about the name it and claim it people, that kind of thing. I remember hearing the people say, you know, well, God wants you to have the best. And all this and that, you know, and I was thinking, okay, well, you know, try to even implement that stuff. But, you know, they tell you that, or like pastors highlighted it to us a million times, these preachers will tell you, you know, that your ship's going to come in, you know, while theirs will come in quite a few times, and you're still waiting for your first load, and you know, saying all the things they say, trying to do this stuff, sowing your seed offerings and all that, and you're still not getting anything or seeing any return on your investment. They wonder, well, how come God's not blessing me? I see him blessing everybody else. These people got brand new cars. Of course, you know, they in debt. You know, everybody say, you know, people show up for church, these new cars and all this other stuff. But you don't get none of the backstory. Well, you know, that ship didn't come in either. They just went to the credit bureau and the Citibank or got the finance company to finance their new vehicle.
You know, they've been blessed, but that the blessing they have has sorrow added to it, you know, because they got that payment of $800 a month for their new car, $1,500 a month for on their mortgage or whatever, or more, depending on the size of their houses that people, you know, people may get deceived into getting into, thinking they're being blessed with these material blessings of the Most High, which is a, you know, which is a fallacy. You get deceived because, but that's an example of people using, wanting to use the Most High to satisfy their lust. You know, so they consume the blessing of the Most High upon their lust, and it's not going to happen. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to Numbers chapter 16. We're going to read verses 1 through 13, Brother Josh. Numbers chapter 16. Let me get there. All right. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab and On, the son of Pilah, the sons of Reuben, took me. You know, that's going to be good. These guys had to, hey, I'm going to, you know, Korah's going to have them, get some men, we're going to go, we're just three. And they rose up before Moses, of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. You know, they took a whole bunch of men. 250, that's not a small number. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and Yahweh is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of Yahweh. You know, when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. You know, what's them entered into Korah, Dathan and Abiram, and those 250 princes of the assembly, you know, men of Israel, famous men in the congregation, men of renown. So these not no Rudy Poot men here. So what entered into them? What were they wrestling with in their heart before they finally decided, hey, let's agree together. Let's go talk to Moses. Let's go tell him you don't took too much upon yourself, Moses, and you're making yourself master over us. You know, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, y'all's among them. So why are you making yourself, why are you lifting up yourself above the congregation? You know, then, you know, God speaking to me, telling all of us what to do. They didn't want to have to submit themselves anymore. You know, of course, the title of this chapter says Korah's Rebellion. But Moses heard, he fell upon his face. Like, you see how, of course, when you read the book, Moses writes about himself, he's the meekest of all men. That's even showing you how meek he was, how humble Moses was when he fell on his face. Like, oh my goodness, what? It hurt Moses. And then the first five says, he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow Yahweh will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him who he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. So let's give him some instruction. This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before Yahweh tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom Yahweh doth choose, he shall be holy. And then he says this, you take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. And Moses said, hear unto Korah, hear, I pray you, you sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you, that the Yah of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of Yahweh, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them.
And he has brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? They seek hard, and were discontent with their lot, with their portion. They didn't want to do the they wanted more than just their work. They want to, like Moses said, you want the priesthood now, huh? So being a Levite, doing that job, that's not good enough. You want this one too. So how did Korah get that envious eye, that jealous eye, him and all the other men? You know, they're going to rebel and rise up. You know, you say, well, hey, look, man, you're getting all the glory up here. We down here doing all the work, having to slaughter all the bullocks, the sheep, the goats, getting bloody and dirty and all this and that, and you in the glory seat, and you get to say what y'all said. Well, I want that job. You know, same thing that the leaders in the ministry got to deal with. Pastor got to deal with people rising up, telling them, you know, hey, pastor, you're not doing a good enough job. I should be pastor. Those kinds of spirits working in people, spitting in their ear, getting them to be discontent, become rebels amongst the congregation, and then, you know, poison other folk who get caught up with them. But thank y'all for the loyalty of the righteous. But what was working in Carl's heart? What deceived him? You know, did he not know that, you know, he's not wrestling against flesh and blood? He's fighting against Moses. Did he forget about the house of time out there? How many of us have forgotten about the house of time? When he's spitting in our ear with his little whisperings, these little demons spitting in our ear, saying, hey, what, you know, you shouldn't have to wash windows and do laundry, sisters. How come your husband ain't doing it? And he get to go to work and he don't have to stay with the children all day. He got it made. When you getting all bitter, looking at your husband with a crooked eye, cockeyed, and throwing a dirty diaper at him when he walk in the house, and he wonder what the hell going on. Like, so what devil got a hold of you, woman? Or man, when you look at your wife all cockeyed when you mad because and she spilled your beer or something, or just something stupid. You know, you can figure out a flesh situation thing, but you get what I'm saying. But you know, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. These evil spirits get in, minister to the mind, and you get corrupted from there. You know, like Korah. Hey, look, man, most of all the congregation holy. We should be. What he really saying, I'm holy enough to do your job. That's what he's trying to say. If you get all the congregation, you know, the Korah got, you know, he got a desired goal. All right, verse 10. Hold me fine. Sorry, verse 11, Brother Josh. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against Yahweh. And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? And Moses. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. See, tell what buddies they are. Now, we ain't coming up there. We ain't got to listen to you, Moses. These spirits getting entrenched, ain't they? If you've been bold, boy, is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself together a prince altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Would thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. Well, these boogers are better. And they can't be content waiting until they get to where they're supposed to be. Because I already got an evil heart towards Moses, like all that desert sand getting in their shoes and their feet, between their toes. Maybe mosquitoes were out there biting them. Maybe that's what made them mad. You know, they want to be in the land of milk and honey, I guess, they feel like Moses shortchanged them or robbed them some kind of way. Which wasn't the case. It says, and Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them.
See, most, I didn't do nothing to them. I haven't done anything wrong to any of these people, these men. They will murmur, they will complain, griping about me. I haven't done nothing to you. But we don't want to have him ruling over us. Same thing today. People rebel for whatever reason they got. You know, you got a head of assembly. I don't like the way he does stuff. You got, you know, an elder. I don't like the way elder talked to me. You know, Elder Rufus rebuked me 2 days ago. I'm, you know, I got a case of the butt now. You know, sister in the dining hall chewed me out for spilling some collard greens. You know, so everybody, you know, so everybody getting under the influence of devils, getting mad. You got all kinds of feelings working within you, but you know the amazing thing is you're not taking these thoughts captive though. That's the problem. We should be taking all these thoughts that bring the accusations, to bring the murmurings, the contentions, the fightings, the warrings, because your lust is not satisfied. We should be, instead of warring against each other, we should be warring against the enemy that's speaking to us, that's holding us captive to his will. Use us as vessels to go say to Moses, hey, all the congregation, hold it. You know, Daniel's sister, hey, why'd you talk to me like that? Or brother, going to another brother, hey, man, why'd you step on my bean in the yard? Well, come on, for real, though, we need to engage our adversary. You know, most of that Jesus gave us power. Cast out devils, tread on serpents, heal the sick, cast out devils. That's the kind of exercise we should be doing. How we should exercise our senses. You know, if we really knew in a lot of cases what we're doing when we do it, you know, when we're doing wrong. It's only when you get the, like Pastor talk about the scales being on the eyes, only when you can see. You know, there's not truth until you get it. In some situations, a lot of us, when we're so blinded, you know, we don't really see what we're doing until the Most High is able to open our understanding, open our eyes. And they're like, oh, man, wow, I'm so sorry. I didn't understand what you were doing. Well, hey, look, if you've just known them that labor amongst you, know that I'm working for you, not against you. I have your best interest in mind. Like Pastor says all the time, I have your best interest in mind. I love you more than you hate yourself. You know, of course, people hate Pastor when he loves us more than we hate ourselves. Hallelujah. All right, let's keep reading here. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before Yahweh, thou and they, and Aaron tomorrow. So Aaron and his sons will be up there too. And take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring you before Yahweh every man his censer, 250 censers. Thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of Yahweh appeared unto all the congregation. And now the Most High showed up. And Yahweh spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O Yah, the Yah of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? Of course, we know what the word says, that one sinner destroys much good. But thank God for Moses interceding here. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Okay, look, he'll narrow it down. Now, I ain't going to tell you to destroy all the congregation. I'm just going to get these books. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan, Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. Unless they getting charged with sin now. What? This rebellion that said, all this evil they had towards Moses. You know, they hating their brother whom they can't see, whom they can see with their eyes, but
loving Yah, whom they can't see. But because of their sins, lest you be consumed all their sins. And so they gathered up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. Let me pause there for a minute. So you see, brothers, men of Israel, those of us who are Israelites, you see the consequences of our sins, don't you? They affect our wives, our sons, the little children, everything that we got. So we need to be careful how we conduct ourselves before the Most High. Because you have to do the consequences. When you get put out, all that pertains to you has to go. And Moses said, "Hereby you shall know that Yahweh hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then Yahweh hath not sent me. But if Yahweh make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked Yahweh, and it came to pass that he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertain unto Korah and all their goods. Then all that appertained unto them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, Lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Eleazar the priest and Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers of the burning and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hollow. These censers of the sinners against their own souls, let them make broad plates for a covering on the altar, for they offered them before Yahweh, therefore they are hollow, and they shall be assigned to the children of Israel. So you see what happens when what Most High did, backing up the man of Yah. Let me remind us too, because I was talking to the brother about this yesterday morning, before he passed even priest. Well, it was 6 days, but I think it was yesterday, Sabbath morning. Back in the day, people used to have at least in the Christian circles when I was going to church and stuff, People had a healthy fear of the men of Yah. I used to hear old people, church people, talk about that kind of thing. I just remember that. They weren't too quick to put their mouths on preachers and stuff. But nowadays people are just out here blasting every man of Yah they can find. Whether you agree with them or not, the true pastor said yesterday, let the preachers deal with the preachers or whatever. Let me deal with the men of Yah. But the word says, touch not mine anointed. But many people have no fear of the Most High when they're touching his anointing. So, just take heed to that one. Just because you may get mad, upset. You get mad and upset with our pastors. Hey, don't touch him. If Pastor Dow's doing wrong, Pastor Corey's doing wrong, just talking about the pastors. But they're doing wrong. Let the Most High deal with. Don't be so quick to put your mouth on them, though. The anointed men of Yah, you better slow your roll. Don't let the devil get you so charged up that you're quick to spew out everything out of your wicked little heart. Or go get up in their face in the kind of way, the wrong way. You can entreat. These pastors are brothers, too. If they sin against you, you can go and treat them and talk to them. Our pastors ain't out of touch. They're willing to, if they do you wrong, they're willing to get it right. I promise you that. They're righteous enough men that they want to get it right. They love y'all, too. They want to be saved, just like the rest of us. Hallelujah. But again, what was in these men's hearts, though? How come they weren't taking their thoughts captive? Because what was brewing in Cora Dathan, something festering so bad and finally exploded into that when they came up, when they rose up against Moses. But the end of that whole thing for them was their destruction. When you look at that, you think about for your own self, if you're not careful, you don't keep your spirit policed up, if you don't keep yourself in the right way, that can be your end can be destruction as well too. My end can be destruction as well too. For all of us, we have to keep ourselves in the right spirit. Think about what Jesus said to the disciples. Hey, look, I want to grant to us that we stand your right hand and your left hand. I think it was John, James, and John, sons of Zebedee. And of course, he said, hey, that wasn't the case. That wasn't the one. No, when the disciple when he went to what city was it? I can't remember the city now. But anyway, when he went to go to that city, they didn't receive him. And then Jesus said, and the disciples said, should we call down fire from heaven, to destroy the city? And then what Jesus said to him, hey, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. I'm not coming to destroy men's lives, but to save. So let's make sure we know what manner of spirit we're operating in at any given time, because we can become ministers of Satan. I'll just say it like that. At any given time, if we're not careful, we can be given over to the all wicked heart. Some the devil saying the right things, he help us to agree with him, and then we off to the race of doing evil instead of doing good. But let's remember this, now, saints. As far as our part in the Messiah, we are new creatures. We are a new creation. We were born again, not a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed. And the little pastor's preaching on that, His seed remains in us, and so we can't sin. As long as we're walking in the spirit and in the new nature, and the divine nature has been given to us, hallelujah. But remember this: Ephesians 2:1 it says this, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And you think about this. Listen to that again. And you have he quickened. You have he quickened, saints. You quickened. Because Christ has made a quickening spirit. As you receive the Holy Spirit, you have that quickening within you. You should know what the quickening is. And you feel that spirit in you come alive. If all of a sudden you get some of them good Holy Ghost jokes. But you are quickened. Who dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But Yah, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, worthy loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, and by grace he is saved, and he hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. And so he's raised us up, made us sit together in heavenly places, not low places, because where we get our authority from, sitting with Christ in these heavenly places. Not from the earth, in heavenly places. We're not earthly. We're not fleshly. We live in these fleshly bodies. These temporal dwellings hold our spirit. But that's not all of who we are. And don't forget, Christ in you is the hope of glory. we're going to be transformed one day, saints. Hallelujah. We're going to shed off these little temple tabernacles that we have. We're going to walk in that new man, that we're going to get that new body. As long as we continue in the hope of our calling to the day of Christ. You know, whether we die before Jesus comes, or we're alive for those that remain in the ashes come. But either way, we're gonna be you know, caught up with him in the air. The dead in Christ arise first, and then those that are alive remain. But you know, we'll get our new bodies, we'll be changed, transformed, and we'll see the true us, the real us, in that great day. But don't forget this. We going on to verse 10. You know, for we are his workmanship. Created in Jesus Christ unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. So let's not forget that. That's what we've been ordained for. You know, we have to engage in this spiritual war. I mean, it's not going to be handed to us, saints. But our adversary, the devil is out here. He's roaring. He's seeking to take captive at any given time. Us, those who give place to him. What Paul said, give no place to the devil. We give place, we're going to end up carrying out his will. And we're here to do the will of the Most High. You know, we're not children of disobedience. We're children of obedience. So let's make sure we keep ourselves in submission to the Most High, in the love of the Most High. You know, if you see your brother or sister falling, pick them up. Consider yourself. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, knowing that you also could be tempted. Hallelujah. All right, brothers and sisters, that's all I got for you tonight. We'll end here. I do appreciate you all. Appreciate you all giving your time tonight with fellowship. Hallelujah. Just know that we do walk by faith and not by sight in this. You know, it's a fight of faith. Every step of the way, you're gonna have to overcome by faith, through faith. Don't give up when the fight gets tough. When the devil's bombarding your mind, hey, do like Pastor taught us. Just take one thought cap. You stop the whole traffic of the thoughts flooding your mind when the enemy's bombarding you. Don't let them just have a super highway running through you. You block up all the lanes. Taking that one thought captive. You stop it all. And you start inspecting. You put the devil on notice. Letting him know that you're not going to let him use you. That you're not going to just let him walk all over you. You're not going to yield your members to him. But you're in the fight to the end. To the end against him, you know, because you're a son of the living Yah. You've been born again, washed in the blood, and he's given us the riches. Hallelujah. Let's y'all forget to keep the man of Yah in prayer, Pastor Dow, Pastor Corey, you know, all the leadership, and one another, and one another as well too, and also don't forget to be doing the warfare, breaking curses, and sending those things back. Because I'm going to tell you, the enemy is not laying down out there. You know, you think about this. You know, these witches and stuff, they go on long fast looking to destroy the saints of the Most High. I read something somewhere, like if a witch knows you're going to fast 2 days, right? They'll fast for just to make sure they stay ahead of you spiritually, trying to combat you. So just keep that in mind. The enemy is diligent. So that's all I'm trying to say with that. The enemy is diligent. They take the devils, and those who Satan uses, they take it very seriously, our destruction. And so we got to make sure we are doing our part to make sure that we stay ahead of the adversary, our enemy. You know, they're fasting. We're fasting 5 days. They're fasting 10. But you know, greater is he that's in us than he is in the world. But I'm always brought it up just to make sure we know that the enemy is diligent. But we got to keep, make sure we stay diligent ourselves. Hallelujah. Anyway, saints, I do love you all. Thank you for your time tonight. Appreciate you all. For those of you that are here tonight and those of you that will be listening later, just bless you all. I hope you all be strengthened in the Most High and that you remain steadfast. Hallelujah. Well, bless you all, saints. I'll see you the next time I'm up. Shalom.
I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.